TheYeshiva.net.
Okay, we're up to page Chaf Aleph here in this contrast of Maimer Basi Lagani Topshin Chaf Dalad. This series is dedicated by Reb Shimshon and Rivki Rishashansky, Laila Nishmas, and in loving memory of their father, her father, and father-in-law, his father-in-law, Reb Shalom, Reb Zalman Yuda, Ben Reb Shalom Yeshaya, Daich Zichreinim Levracha. Thank you very, very much. Tehei Nishmas Yitzruda B'tzer HaChayim. And of course, dedicated to all of our soldiers, the holiest of the holy, and all of the captives, all of the hostages, and all of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael and the world over. Hashem Yishmar Tzeisam Avoya Me'atavad Olam. So in the last three classes where we began this Maimer Basi Lagani of Tavshin Chavdalet that the Rebbe said 60 years ago at the Fabrengen Metzoyesh B'Shalach Yiral of Shvat Tavshin Chavdalet, the last point we learned was the focus, an explanation on the pasuk that we say every morning in davening from Nehemiah, Va'ata Mechaya Eskula, right? We say, Ata Hu Hashem Levadecha, you are one alone, Ata Sisa, Es HaShemayim, Shmei HaShemayim, V'chol Tzva Ma'aretz, V'chol Asher Ela Hayamim, V'chol Asher Behem, Va'ata Mechaya Eskula. You are alone and you made the heavens and the heavens of the heavens and all of their legions, all of their troops, all of their tzva, like tzava, and the earth and everything that's on the earth and the seas and the oceans and everything that's in them. And finally, va'ata, and you mechayes kulam. You give life, you sustain, you give vitality, you animate and vivify es kulam, all of them, all of them. And this pasuk was brought to explain the idea that the Zohar says that Eire Ein Sof is Lamai Lamai Adin Ketz Lamata Mata Adin Tachlos, that the light of the Ein Sof, the light which is Ein Sof, the energy of Hashem Kvayachal, extends Lamai Lamai upwards to no end and downwards to no end. And he said the downwards to no end includes all the way down, down. And he discussed different levels in that Maimer Basi Lagani, what means Lamata Adin Tachlos. And as glow as you will get, you say va'ata mechaya eskulam. The Eir Ein Sof gives life to it. Lamata all the way down, as low as you'll find, as low as you can go, which is very low. Adin tachlis still va'ata mechaya eskulam. You give life to all, and life means, as he says in the Maimer, lahavos ulachayos, to give it existence, to make it exist, to be, and then to function as an existence. Every existence has a different role, a different function. The fact that we exist, that's the common denominator of all existence. Instead of being ayin, we're yesh. Instead of nothingness, there is somethingness. But what type of yesh? That's unique. There's differentiation. The properties, the nature, the characteristic, the unique chemistry, what's called chemistry, the mizug, right? The nature of every nivra, which is unique. And in its own way, indispensable to the symphony of creation. It's b'hashgacha pratis. It's with divine providence, orchestrated and choreographed in terms of its position, in terms of its longevity, in terms of its purpose, in terms of what it does, what it achieves in our planet, on our planet, or in the entire universe, physical and also spiritual, what we call olam ha'elyonim and olam ha'tachtonim. These two things are called hishavus and chayas. It says, va'ata mechayas kulam. So the Mekabalim write, the Pardes, and other Mekabalim write, al tikra mechaya ala mahava. It doesn't only mean mechaya gives life. It also means mahava gives existence. Your mahava is kulam. Not just you always give life to everything, but mahava is kulam, you give existence to everything. And that's what the Baal Shem Tov says, famously, on the pasuk, la'olam Hashem dvar chanitzav bashamayim, that the creation didn't happen once. The creation is happening constantly. Everything is being recreated every moment. La'olam Hashem dvar chanitzav bashamayim, the words of Hashem, that He said, Yihi rakiya, let there be a heaven, which those letters, those words, are the chiyus, they constitute the life force that create and continue to make the heaven or any other creature exist. Dvarcha nitzav bashamayim, it stands, so to speak, in the shamayim constantly, in order to recreate it, both its ishavus and its chiyus, its existence, and its uniqueness, the functionality, how it exists, the properties that make every created being what it is. So it's not a relationship that happened once in the moment of creation. Boom. Now, good luck. You know, I'll watch from above. But rather, the ishavus, the creation, the involvement, is b'chol rega v'rega, it's every moment. And it's not just involvement, it's the core of all existence. The Baal Shem Tov adds, in Medrash Tehillim, it says this already, that the dibur, yehira kiya, is nitzav bashamayim, it always creates it. Well, the Baal Shem Tov adds, it's brought in Tanya, Shari Yichud V'munah, the first chapter, in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, that the oisius of the Asar Mamoris, the oisius of Hashem, continue to be mehava and to be mechaya, to give chiyus. And that's a unique emphasis, because creation, the creator creates the creation. So there's a creator and there's a creation. But chayus means the chemistry of the creation. Chayus is the identity, the ego, so to speak, the I of the creation. Whether it's an elephant, whether it's a mosquito, whether it's a bee, whether it's a human being, whether it's a galaxy or a star, an atom or molecule, right? A white blood cell or a red blood cell. The chayus of it means the life force which gives it its identity, its chemistry, its properties. In other words, it's the details that make me who I am. So the Baal Shem Tov says, that's also b'chol rega v'rega from the dibur. So that is the creator who somehow knows how to create everything. You know, he's a creator. Thank you. But the chayis, so chayis is called chayis pnimi. In other words, the inner identity of every nivra is, what? Is elikus. Is the divine energy, the divine isis, the divine DNA, so to speak, which constitutes the very core of every nivra, creating it and giving it its chemistry, bringing together everything that's needed in order to make this being whatever it is supposed to be in the scheme of existence. Yeah, that's the vort. Not that this havas is not autopilot, and the chayas is not autopilot. It's every moment b'chol rega v'rega, recreate it. And not just create it, but giving it its life force, its unique identity, its unique chemistry. That is also the Dvar Hashem. In other words, underlying all the laws of nature, all the discoveries of science and physics in the nature of any being, from the smallest to the biggest, is the Dvar Hashem, the divine DNA, the divine energy that brings together everything. It brings together the molecules, which are combinations of atoms, which themselves bring together subatomic particles, to constitute the existence of everything.
Physics and science and biology is not like that, because the cell has a code. And basically, all the commandments, what to do with yourself, it's in the cell.
And that code itself.
I mean, but it's what it, of course, who wrote the code. I'm not arguing about who wrote the code. I'm arguing the fact that it doesn't need to be have an intervention. The cell knows what to do.
So that the cell knows what to do. That's what we're talking about.
But it doesn't have to be the whole yom to meat. Why it's not all the pilot? It's not all the pilot. You wrote this software once. You wrote
the
software once. And
the answer is because it's yesh meyayin. No, it's a good question. So that's what it says in Tanya and Shara Yichud, because that's the difference of yesh meyayin and yesh meyash. Right, so the differentiation between the two, the properties and the existence, is really a differentiation in teichen, in concept. One is the very existence of something. The rock exists, right, and I exist. The plant exists and the animal exists. The angel exists and the sun exists.
Software needs to be written down as well as hardware.
Software and the hardware. So you have the existence itself, and then you have the nature of the existence. You're right, the nature becomes this existence. But there's that nekuda, for example, that which everything occupies space, right? No difference. This occupies space, and I occupy space, and the chair occupies space. The fact that we occupy space, that's a common denominator. We all occupy space. But what's occupying the space? This is a tissue box, and this is a table. So you have his havos, is the etzem existence of it. What it is, you say. So he explains in Tanya that Yesh Me'ayin, what does Yesh Me'ayin really mean? Yesh Me'ayin means that it's something that comes from nothingness. So the natural state of the Yesh is to revert back to Ayin. So when you want to when you want the Yesh not to be Ayin, but to be Yesh, it's recreated every single moment. If it's Yesh Me'yesh, which means, like most things we do, everything we do, we take something and we develop it. Right? The cell replicates itself on the most basic level. But even in the daily occurrences, you take $1 and you try to make from it $100. Hopefully a little more even. So then, right, I take a carpenter, takes a tree, takes a piece of lumber, a log, and turns it into a beautiful utensil, a table or a shtender, right? He doesn't have to recreate it. That's not real hischachos. It's taking what was there in potential and bringing it out and actualizing. So really, the last product was already in potentiality in the original seed. It's like the seed of an apple tree, right? It has within it, in its genetics, it has the tree. So even when it comes to be a tree, you have a tree. But if it's mamish yesh me'ayin, mamish ayin, what's called ayin, it's hard for us to understand what ayin means. So that process is completely new. So that's why that has to be renewed. Al pisech has to be renewed every month. I once gave this mashal. I saw it once. It's not a perfect metaphor, but just illustrates it. When you have it's very far from a perfect mashal because there could be some flaws in it, but it's just a little illustration, and that is. Very often, what do you do by a shiur? If you're sitting at a shiur and it gets boring, what do you do? So you eat. Today, people go on their phone. But used to be, for thousands of years, the method was you daydream, right? Till today, you have it on Shabbos especially. You can't go on the phone. So you daydream, you sit, and automatically, it's autopilot. Still in the DNA, yeah, it doesn't go away. You daydream, and you know, daydreams can be very interesting, right? It could be 1 minute, it could be 5 minutes. The shiur is really boring. You can go for an hour the daydream. And in the daydream, you travel the world, and you open companies, and you close companies, and you get investors, and you get into fights with people, yeah? You get into arguments, and you even get angry in your daydream. And you already know, you see what's happening next week, and you go shopping, whatever. A lot of things happen in the daydream. You could travel around the world and always first class, and the food is good. Everything is perfect in the daydream, because why not, you know? Or miserable, whatever it is. And you concoct this whole, and when you're in that daydream, it's reality in your brain, of course, right? And then, of course, the shiur is over. Have a wonderful day. And miracles happen. You come out of the daydream, because now it's time to go back to reality. And all of the characters that were in the daydream suddenly are gone. They disappear. The places you were in disappear. Everything that was present disappeared. What happened to them? Where are they? So it's not a very... not a very profound question to answer, right? What's the answer? The answer is they didn't have an existence outside of your thoughts, of your neurons. The stuff of their existence was...
in the local memory, which is erased.
It's the stuff, the chomer, the material, the fabric of their existence is what? My thoughts. So now you're saying I stopped thinking about them, they should still exist. What should exist? What should exist? There was no reality outside of me thinking this reality. The definition of that reality is my creative thought process, which is amazing. And for an hour, my creative thought process was working. And these were existences in my brain, at least. Right? When I stop thinking about them, they don't exist. You know why? Because they never existed outside of the koyach that was creating them every moment, which is my mind. If you want to use philosophical language, it's yesh me'ayin. It's yesh me'ayin. In other words, these characters exist. I thought about them. Now, yeah, they may exist somewhere else. I may have thought about them in the past. I may have had an encounter. Usually our daydreams are made up of, you know, fears, experiences. Number one. Number two, where the mashal falls short is, it's only a mental existence. I can't physically touch the person in my brain, even if I get into a fight with him. it's a mental experience. But what did we just learn? Because the definition of their existence is, not that they exist, but that I conceive them, I created them. That is the definition. They don't have a definition outside. So therefore, the moment my creative power is gone, what happens? They're also gone. Because they don't have another definition. As far-fetched as it seems, but that's the story of the whole world. That's what it means, Yeshmeyayin. Huh? Much more. Much more. Because I'm daydreaming. Yeah, I could daydream about a car that exists and a plane that exists. Yeah? And a store that exists and a country that exists. I'm just bringing it together in my daydream. I'm here and I put myself there. I can even be in a stadium with 50,000 people in my daydream. And I could see the 50,000 people. And I can hear them cheering. I can even see a guy eating a kosher hot dog with mustard and sauerkraut. I could see the mustard. I can even get jealous of him. I mean, not exactly the sauerkraut, but other things I can get jealous. I don't like sauerkraut. Just for the reference. It's healthy. That's why I don't like it, Mustam. You understand my point? What happens to the hot dog when you stop daydreaming? What happens to 50,000 people? They're gone. They're dead. They're not dead. They were never there. You were there. And also, if somebody says, I'm alone, I'm lonely. So tell them, just start daydreaming. Daydream that there's 30,000 people and you'll have company. It's laughable. Why? The people in your brain don't take you away from your loneliness. Why not? Because it's all an expression of you. To take away from your loneliness, you actually need another person. So that's the basic of what you say. Atu Hashem levadecha. Yeah? You're alone. What do you mean you're alone? There's a whole world. The whole world is an extension of Atta. That's what it is. So La'olam Hashem Dvarecha Nitzav Hashemayim, because it's Yesh Me'ayin, so I can't just write the program of the computer and say, now the computer will function. There were those who wanted to say that. This was a very big shitta in philosophy. Yeah. Yes. So you have the hardware, you have the cell, you have the software, it's the DNA, and it has all the instructions. You have here some programmer, so you could relate to this. And you have all the instructions, and they're beautiful. Right? But without the electricity, without the Kayach HaMahava, it all ceases to exist. And that doesn't happen once. That happens B'chol Regevre HaMechadish B'tuva, B'chol Yom Tabit Ma'aseh B'nashis. In other words, what has to happen for the world to cease to exist? What has to happen for the world to cease to exist? And the answer is one word, nothing. You understand what I just said? That's what has to happen. What has to happen, the other way around, something has to happen for the world to exist, not for the world not to exist. That's why HaMechadish B'tuvai B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh B'nashis.
Everything has to stop happening.
It's like the joke, right? The husband comes home one day from work and the house is a churban. It's a churban. But not just a churban. Everything is destroyed. You know, from the basement to the first floor to the second floor. And the kids are in pajamas, and the whole floor looks like, the whole house looks like one big beis akise. And it's 6 o'clock in the evening, he never saw such a thing. Of course, there's no food ready, there's nothing. It looks like mamash, this is a churva where it's been destroyed for 1,000 years. He goes upstairs, and he sees his wife is still in the clothes from last night, you know, bed clothes, b'chol didn't get dressed, in bed reading a book, smiling. He looks, he says, what's going on? So she looks at him, she says, you know, every day you ask me, what did you do all day? You always ask me, what do you do all day? You don't work, you don't have a job, you don't have to make money, I pay for everything. So what do you do all day? Why are you saying you're busy and you're stressed? He says, yeah, I always ask. She says, well, today I didn't do it. Right? Today I didn't do it. Nobody's laughing. Okay, say that. Make believe you didn't get it. It's fine.
For the world to exist, you need to have an observer, because otherwise it's nothing. So it's like even physics.
That's already the next step. That's already a deeper step. What is the nature of the yesh? What is the nature of this yesh? In the daydream, right, we know that it's neurons. It's thoughts. We also have to understand what that is exactly. But it's something we call thoughts. It's not tangible, right? I can't touch it with my finger. Okay. Today they're doing it, you know, with people who die, right? They're taking their brain and storing it. So now is the question. This yesh that we see and touch, right? On any level, yeah. What is it actually? So when you speak about different worlds, in every world it has a different interpretation. Because the whole world is basically the Koyach HaPoyel. So basically, you can experience, you could see reality as thoughts. You could see reality as words, and they're both reality. Yeah, you understand? That's what it means. You see it from a different world. There's Olam HaTzilus, there's Olam HaBriya, there's Olam HaYitzir, there's Olam HaSiyah. It's not Stam, you know, cute, Kabbalistic, mystical worlds. Hakarain, another world, put another 100 worlds. It's all peeling away layers of reality of how you perceive it. Just like if I look at this table through a microscope, I'm going to see a different table. Not that now my eyes are lying. They're not lying. My eyes can pick up one layer of existence, and that is, there's a table, I can bang it, and it's giving me a lot of feedback. And if I get into a fight with it, it's going to fight back. That's one layer, and it's a true layer. But we all understand that that layer is defined by my eye more than anything else. Because if I had different eyes, if I had microscopic eyes, what would I see in this? I would see a completely different reality. Huh? A bunch of atoms. How many atoms? We don't even have a number. In the point of one needle, you have more atoms than anyone could count throughout their lifetime. And that's the point of a needle. Right? The point of a needle, which means in the tiniest chomer, you're dealing with atoms that are beyond our numbers. So suddenly you'll see a whole new world. And if you go with it even deeper, the atom itself is combined of parts within the atom. And deeper and deeper and deeper, to the point that the human brain and the human eye says, I can't talk anymore, I have no words. And then on some level, this paradox is beyond comprehension. So what's true? The answer is, depends which world you're talking about. And that's all in the world of Gashmias still. That's all in the world that's still tangible to some point. That's all in the world of Yesh, of Chaymer. Then you have the world of the Ruchni. You know, I told you last time, all of matter is made up of atoms. There's no such a thing. All of matter, the building blocks of existence are called atoms. Atoms coming together to create molecules, coming together to create any existence in our world. That's the chaymer, that's the building blocks. But every atom itself has to be made up of many, many dimensions. There's this nucleus of the atom and the electron moving around it with crazy intense speed. And that holds it together. And without that, the atom disintegrates. And then there's nothing whatsoever. That's happening every single moment. That atom has to function every single moment. And 99.9% of an atom is empty space. Like so one physicist once said, that physically you could take the whole planet Earth and it could fit into one carry-on suitcase. In other words, if you eliminate the empty space of the atom, which we don't see with our eyes, because our eyes don't like empty space, so our eyes make it one big solid thing. But if you eliminate the empty space, the actual physical substance of this planet could fit into one suitcase. The ganze Welt. One suitcase. A carry-on suitcase. An attaché case. Right? And it's not a joke. These are words of physicists. They're not even words of religion. Uh-huh. So what does that really mean? It means that the empty space in the atom, what is that? 99, that's the Dvar Hashem. That's not going to be picked up by the microscope. God can't be picked up by a microscope. So Bemela, the Dvar Hashem, that constitutes the key of the atom. Yeah, so when the Baal Shem, so that's what the Baal Shem Tov is saying, that this Havos is Bechol Rega, and when you say his Havos, it does, yeah. And when you say that, it also means the chayas of it. Va'atam echayah. What's the chayas? The chayas is the unique chemistry of it is also divine. So it's not just there's a creator and there's creation. Atu Hashem levadecha, the creation is a manifestation of the creator. You understand? It's much deeper. There's creator and creation. That's one level. This is one of the big chidushim of chassidus. That not just never loses sight of it, it's much deeper. Before chassidus, the main emphasis was creator, creation. The creation owes its existence to creator in terms of gratitude, in terms of responsibility, right? What the Baal Shem Tov wanted to bring out was something, yeah, that's true, but something wanted to bring out something much deeper. There's no creator in creation. The creation is the embodiment of creator. In other words, to put it in very simple terms, Avodas Hashem doesn't mean worshipping someone else. Avodas Hashem really means being you. Being you. Being aligned with you. Being aligned with your real chemistry. Avodas Hashem means living a life of alignment. Alignment means, you know what alignment means, yeah? chibur, dveikus. Not having dissonance, not splitting yourself off from who you are. Not getting, imagine the cup says, you know, I don't like my atoms anymore. I'm getting into a fight with my atoms. A person says, I don't like my genes. I want an identity outside of my genes. What's the answer? My dear friend, you are your genes. These words, I don't like the identity. I don't like my genes. Those are your genes talking. You are your genes. I don't have something outside of that. I need to make peace with who I am. Sometimes it's hard. And that's also part of who I am. So I don't have to be scared of that as well. So that's what it means, va'atam achayas kulam, that itself is Ein Sof. It's the way Ein Sof is manifested in the atoms, right, that constitute this unique individuation. God is infinite, transcendent. That's called Oisius. That's Oisius. That's why the Alter Rebbe says, va'ata mechayas kulam is ata. What's ata? Aleph through tof, with the hey mitzayas hapeh. Just like we create things through letters, through words, like it says in Sefer Yetzirah, every word is a creation. Every word is a home. It's a building. A word is a structure. Speech is structure. It's building something. A good speech means someone built a structure. A bad speech means he created a churva. The architect doesn't know what he's doing and the contractor doesn't know what he's doing. And sometimes they both know. You understand? When you hear a speech, you always look for two things. Who's the architect and who's the contractor? It's two separate arts. What does the architect do? The architect creates the plan, the vision. He understands the vision. The contractor has to implement it. And sometimes the architect is brilliant, right? You pay him a chves what you pay him or her. But the contractor decides that he doesn't like where the bathroom is going to be. Right? It happens constantly. Or the other way around. The architect made a mistake. When you're saying a speech, you have to have two things. What's the vision? Give me the blueprint, right? The blueprint, the klal. And then there's actual execution. The delivery. Some people have great ideas, but there's no way of presenting it. In other words, a speech is really building. Now, when we speak, somehow nobody responds, right? We don't build the world. We need maisa. When you're talking about the dibur of the bria, it's not machshav, it's dibur. What's the difference between machshav and dibur? If Hashem would have conceived the world through thought, it would have never left him. So then when we would look at the world, what would we see? We would see the divine. Nobody knows my thoughts, right? You can't steal my thoughts from me. Why? You can't plagiarize my thoughts. You know why? Because you don't know what I'm thinking. My words, you could plagiarize. The president of Harvard had to resign. Not because she justified the genocide of the Jewish people, but because that's not so bad. To send the Jews to another Holocaust, okay. But she plagiarized. On this, she had to resign. But if she would have, whoever she plagiarizes because those words were printed or said, she can't plagiarize thoughts. The reason we could take God's energy and plagiarize it and exploit it is only because he spoke. He didn't think. In Olam Hatzilus and Olam Abriya, you have the same world like us, but it's Machshava. But then it goes into Oisius, Dibur. Once it's in Oisius, it's concretized. That's why it's not a daydream anymore. It's concrete. Now I can do with it what I want. Now it's mine. I could take your speech, yeah, and do with it what I want. I could make it my own. I can distort it. People do it all the time. Why'd you say this? Why? I never said it. They say you said it. I never said it. At this point, I stopped. Fine, I said it. Next. You understand, when it comes out into dibur, you don't own it in many ways. That's why you have to be careful with what comes out of your mouth. You have to be very careful. You don't own it anymore because it left you. What does that mean in ruchnius? I'm giving a mashal. If Hashem thought the world, he does think the world. But then nobody in my daydream makes a rebellion against me because it's all part of me. And if they are, it's me making a rebellion against myself. But the world, once it comes out into Dibur, it goes into concrete reality. First of all, you can touch it and see it and feel it. That's the Chiddush of Dibur. And now it has already an independent reality, so to speak, outside of the Creator, even though it's all His words, it's His letters. So Ata Mechayas Kulam is Aleph through Tav. That's why, as I told you, DNA is all about Oisius, because the software of the world is Oisius. what they discovered in the 1950s, DNA is really a manifestation of the idea that the whole world is a program. It's a divine program. It's a code. That's what it is. It's a code. Every cell has a code. Every nivra has a code. And that code is the oisius, aleph through tav. So how do you have so many different creations? So the Kabbalah, Chassidus explained, because tzirufim, aleph through tav is not just 22 letters. Aleph through tav includes the potentiality for endless letters. The aleph can come before the beis, and the beis can come before the aleph, and it's a different energy. Even is aleph beis nun. Eish is aleph shin. Mayim is mem yud mem. What's mem yud mem? Mem yud mem is two atoms of hydrogen and one atom of oxygen. Two atoms of hydrogen are two mems. And one atom of oxygen is yud. So mem yud mem is not just water. That's why in Hebrew you can't change words. In English, if Mr. Webster decides that water is fire and fire is water, I don't think it's the smartest thing to do, but mela, the world goes on. But in Lashon Kodesh, if Mayim becomes Eish and Eish becomes Mayim, you make them destroy the place. That's what Reb Chanina ben Daisa told his daughter when she used vinegar to light Shabbos candles. What did he say? The Gemara says, Misha Amar l'shemen v'yadlik, yoyma l'chaymetz v'yadlik. He told his daughter, relax, whoever told the oil to burn will tell the vinegar to burn. So Alter Rebbe says, what does he have to make this whole complicated drasha? Just tell her, God, Hashem can do what he wants. Misha Amar, so it's a speech. Alter Rebbe says, Meiridik, Reb Chanina ben Daisa was giving her the mechanism of how the world works. Misha Amar l'shem in v'yadlik. Why does vinegar not burn? Why can't I light Hanukkah candles with vinegar? And why can I light it with oil? The answer is, Misha Amar l'shemen v'yadlik. There's a code. Shemen has a code. It's called Shin Mem Nun. Those are the oisiyas that make up the properties of oil that allows it to be something that you can ignite, that can serve as fuel for a flame. Chaimetz has a different level, different properties. Just like Yayin has different properties. Misha Amar l'shemen v'yadlik. If we can get back to the code, if you're the computer programmer, or you have access to the computer programmer, you can go to the back end, you know what you can do? You can be Mishana de Tzirufu. Misha Amar l'shemen v'yadlik. Amar, the one who spoke to Shemen. It's not stam a cute euphemism. He told Shemen, he tells Chaimetz. Yoimar l'chaimetz v'yadlik. You gotta go, if you have access to the molecular level, right, to the atomic level. There's something called cellular biology, right? I could deal with the skin. I can deal with deeper layers. Can you deal with the cells? Can you go back to the cells? Right? The world of genetics, geneticists, right? They're going to a much deeper layer. Misha Amar, the question is, which layer do you go to? I think the Maggid of Mizrich writes that when it speaks about Moifsim, of Tzadikim, it really what it means is, he says, it's not, we call it a miracle. He says, what does it mean really it's a miracle? He says, really it's teva. When your words, when you realize that you're a channel, an einoid mulvade. So who's speaking your words? Hashem. Who's thinking your thoughts? Hashem. So he says, basically your thoughts and words are aligned with the writer, with the programmer. So the words of the tzaddik can change the DNA because his words are the words of the creator. So you say, my words are also the words of the Creator, but consciously, it's reverse program. Consciously, my words are my words. The one who's aligned, so I'm just a channel, like I said, a shofar. Va'ata mechayes kulam. So really you want your thoughts and words to be a reflection of the thoughts that are creating reality. That's the difference of living in anxiety and living in love and light. Living in anxiety means I'm trying to create my own program every moment, and that's miserable. It's the most miserable thing you can do. For two reasons. First of all, I don't know how to create programs. Maybe you do, I don't. In simple words, I'm not God. Number one. And number two, there's already a program. Huh? It's very, very difficult. So when a person becomes aligned, so I'm the shofar that's channeling this va'ata mechayes kulam. So it's aleph, tav, hey. It's oisius. And even though atzmus is mechaya everything, but it comes what we call through oir and through oisius. And that's why it becomes what it becomes. It has definitions, whatever the definition is. And this goes down all the way, all the worlds. And he explained Bariches that this is the difference of Ishavus and Chiyus. The Pasuk doesn't say Va'atam Ahavus Kol, it says Va'atam Achayus Kol. And the reason is because what's more revealed is the Chiyus. In other words, nobody can deny, even the one who wants to, the functionality of existence. The fact that every creation somehow has a, works with functionality, with precision. They may not like to use the word purpose, because purpose means there was a design behind it, right? So, but it's working towards something. Its life is about, there's a, this planning. I was once in Nicaragua. So they have there on an island, you have to go there late at night. You could see the turtles coming out of the ocean and laying eggs. It's a very unique phenomenon in nature because it happens rarely and they do it only in the dark of night and they need quiet and silence. Yeah. And with certain tides, you have to know the moon. They know everything. The turtles know everything. But for people to catch on, it's a, and sometimes you go, nothing happens. So I was there. So the rabbi there, he took me and my family there one night, late at night. And we had good mazel. The turtles somehow liked us. And they came out in the hundreds and in the thousands. So like you watch, it's like surreal. You know, it's like a whole universe that nobody knows about. And you know, the turtles have patience, not like us, right? They once asked a turtle, you know, were you by the Big Bang? Like what happened over the, all these years? The turtle said it happened too fast. The turtle has savlanut, patience. Yeah, well, it was a savlanut. Turtles didn't grow up in Israel. They have a lot of patience. So these turtles, you know, till they schlep zecharois from the ocean, and you think they're like alta, you know, alta fifers that don't know from their chayas, you know, till they, mamish like in a mosh of skein, and they're schlepping zech, you know how turtles go. And then they start digging. Slowly. And they, but nonstop, arms, flaps, they start making a hole. Consistently. And they work so hard. Like after an hour, there's a deep hole. They check it out. They boy the kit. This is going to be the home of their kids. And then they sit down, Azai, and they start laying egg after egg, around 150 eggs, which are 150 turtles. And they finish. It could be between 75 and 150 eggs over 45 minutes. Egg after egg after egg. I became like a child. I lie down on the ground right near them, and I was watching egg after egg. They finish just working hard, and now it's time to cover it. So now they work another 45 minutes to cover it up, and then they cover it and make sure, the makabah patish, that nobody could notice that anything happened. So it becomes so flat and so smooth, it's like you would go to earth that nobody ever touched, because that's how they're going to protect their eggs from the predators. Once they finish, you would think now, yeah, they're going to go read a book. They'll go gamble, they'll go drink, they'll go to their phones. Yeah, now they need a little enjoyment. Now they got to go back to the ocean. Life continues. And now they start that back. It could take them another hour till they get back. Everything's slow. And then they stop and they do his bainanus. It's a few hours. And in those few hours, they created those 150 eggs. And they go back and they'll never meet their babies. It's going to take 60 days or 30 days. The turtles come out deep under the ground. It takes them a week to find the surface. And then they make their way back to the ocean. If they make it, of course. There's the raccoons and the birds that try to attack them. But that's why they lay so many eggs. So 50% make it to the ocean. And the cycle continues. Now you might ask, what's the purpose in the scheme of creation? Yeah. It's a good question. But what do you see here? You see here the design, the precision. What has to happen to create all this functionality and all this wisdom and all this genetic code in the turtle? And the details. A person can't deny that. And that's just, I'm giving an example of a turtle hatching. You could speak about this billions, about billions and billions and billions of different things and realities and nuances. That's the Mechaya. So you see that there's a code, there's a plan, there's functionality. His Havus, you don't see. You can't intuitively see creation happening. In my daydream, yeah. But in the world, not. When we see the world, we sense it, we start with yesh. Essentially, the difference between science and physics and Torah People sometimes think there's a competition. If it's real, there's never a competition. Emes doesn't compete with Emes. Sheker competes with Emes. Remember that. Right? The Rambam says in Hilchos Torah, how do you come to Avos Hashem, Yiras Hashem? He says, by understanding the world. But the study of science and physics, that Tzemach Tzedek writes this, is a study of the Yesh. The study of Torah is a study of the Ayin HaMahaves HaYesh. It's tuning into the Ayin that is behind the Yesh, that is the core of the Yesh. You can't expect the human Yesh to be able to grasp the Ayin, because the whole way the Yesh becomes a Yesh is by the Ayin concealing itself in the Yesh. If the Ayin was present in the Yesh in a manifest way, you could say goodbye to the Yesh. In simple terms, if I would see the world and the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear as is. Infinity, elikus. The whole kavana of Diri B'Tachtoinim, the whole kavana of Avoida, of creating alignment from the person's Avoida, is because the Ayin is not manifest begali in the Yesh. V'ata mechaya, that says, mechaya is kulam. I told you, Torah is the blueprint. So from the blueprint it's revealed, in the world it's revealed. So mechaya is revealed. You may not want to use the word God, use the word laws of nature. But everybody has to use the word laws of nature. You can't go into your lab if you don't believe there's laws of nature. Quit right here ahead. You can't build a bridge if you don't think there's laws of nature. You can't build a machine. Call it laws of nature. Call it the way things work. Call it the laws of physics. Whatever you want to call it. But that, what are you really saying? You're really saying is that there's a writer, there's a lawgiver, there's a code writer, there's a programmer. Cosmic unity, cosmic energy, and everything is working together with perfect synchronization. There's a huge factory, an endless factory, right? Somebody behind this factory. But this havos that I can't see. I could learn. Once I see what's happening, then I say, one second, and how did it all begin? Ein davar oseh atzmo. Ein hayesh oseh atzmo. Like the Chovos HaLevavos says. If something had to be created, that can't create itself. Somebody else had to create it. But that also had to be created. So from here, I can appreciate that there's a mahava, that it all came into existence. So the mechaya is explicit, and the mahava is, al tikri mechaya la mahava. What do you want to ask?
The other day you said that all these turtles, nature, gave us inspiration. Right? Inspiration that just Hashem to it just inspires us. To show us. Is that what you see? You said that
precise.
Well, you see that, you see precision in everything. You see plan, you see purpose, you see a mechanism. Now, I may have a lot of questions. I don't see the purpose in this. That's true. But you see, you see intricate design that you have to be very illogical to say it happened randomly. I mean, statistically, it's almost impossible. You're not dealing with a few dices, you know, a few times coming together. You're talking about probabilities that are unfathomable to believe that they're random. And that's just in one cell. Any creation you touch, take any leaf of any tree, and the chemistry of that leaf is beyond comprehension in terms of the structure and the complexity. So that's va'atam chayas kula. That's the chayas. From there you can appreciate this havos. Because you know ein davar oseh atzmo. Intuitively not. Intuitively there's just me, there's nothing else. But through his beinonos, right? The person can go into a deeper space where there's a relationship with the fact that I am a creation. I'm a channel of the Creator right now. Now, it's hard to do because our brains naturally don't go there. Our brains want to detach. That's what Olam Hazeh is. You want to detach. You want to disconnect. And somehow we feel more safe, like I'll take control of my own life. But it doesn't make us more safe. It makes us more miserable. Because you weren't destined to be alone. You're not supposed to be detached. We weren't supposed to be disconnected. Not from ourselves, not from each other, and not from the Creator. And it's all the same thing. Brokenness means, what does broken mean? Brokenness means detached. I told you once, the word ra in Lashon Kodesh doesn't mean evil. It means broken. Ra'ua, in Baba Kama, people are learning now Baba Kama, Kaisel Ra'ua. It's a flimsy, weak, broken wall. In Targum Unculus, when broken is the word, the Gemara says, a chayil is called mare, memresh ayin yud. Because what does ra mean? What does evil mean? Evil means it's detached, it's broken. There's a dissonance between me and me. Between the real me and the fake news. As some people call it, fake news. Fake news I'm not supposed to give in to. So that's all because the Mechaya comes through the Va'ata, Aleph Tav Hei. So you have a whole world. It's every moment being recreated and revitalized by the Creator. But in a revealed way, it requires a person's mental and emotional discipline to be able to tune into that. But the concept of Geula is v'nigla kvod Hashem v'ro'o chol basar, that the truth becomes revealed. So now let's see weiter. Siv Dalet. It's page Chaf Aleph, Siv Dalet. When it says, what does kulam mean? You give life to everything, kulam. But we know sometimes in halacha, kulam could mean most, rubei kekulai. The majority is like kulai. You see in the footnote, he brings a taz from Erechaim, Hilchus Rosh Hashanah. The taz in Shulchan Aruch brings, we say in the Shoshana davening, in Menin Nuschai, is meloich, yeah, al kol ha'olam kulai b'chvedecha. So the Levush says, it's redundant. Meloich al olam kulai b'chvedecha. What's meloich al kol ha'olam kulai b'chvedecha? So he doesn't like that nusach. He says, you added an extra word. You should reign on the whole world. So Taz says no. Because sometimes you could say the whole, but you don't mean the whole. You mean most. So that's why you say, when I'm saying kol olam, I mean kol olam kulay. Kol olam kulay. That's what the Taz explains. That's what he brings in Garaya. When you say, v'ata mechaya es kulam, maybe it's kulam, maybe it's not kulam. It's almost kulam. Right? There used to be a joke by Chassidim about certain Jews. He says that they believe as Benuba Deruba Fit the Eberste de Welt. Benuba Deruba Fit the Eberste de Welt. You know, 90% of the time God is in charge. So that's not Pshad Vata Mechaya is Kula. Vata Mechaya is Kula means not Rubika Kula, it means Kula Mamish. What is Kula Mamish? It means also Klippa. Because every Mitzias in the world, even the Mitzias which we call Klippa, you have to Ein Hayesh Oises Atzmai. You can't create you. Once there's you, you can be you. You can develop you, but you can't create you. Why? Because if you were there before, you created you, so then the question is, how did you get there before? And if you weren't there before, so how can the you that wasn't there before create a you? That's why when you go all the way to the beginning, we become dumbfounded. Because, fine, this is how it happened after. But how did that l'chatchila happen? They say, I don't know. But at some point, if you're dealing with something that had a beginning and has a beginning, you have to ask, and before that, what prompted that beginning? And here the yesh stops. This is where the yesh has a blind spot because I can't touch that. Why? Because if I could touch, how can I touch that which preceded the very paradigm of I? And that's why scientists, unless they're humble, at this point they go crazy. Because now you're messing with me. Or fake news. I'll do anything to get out of this. In 100,000 years we'll figure it out. What are we going to figure out? This is a point, you have to understand this. How can the eye touch that point where that precedes the eye completely and in which there's no eye? She's bringing a raya. With kulay doesn't mean that he's bringing a raya. That kulay could mean rubik ka kulay. That's why he's being madrish. So what does it mean? Well, okay, we'll get to that. So when you say ein ayesh oises atzma, yeah, it's about everything. Because if it was there before, it was there before. So how did it, who created it? And that which wasn't there before, it needed to be created. Because the world was created with klipa. That's part of the bria. But we have to understand that the yesh, it has nothing in its intuition or in its brain to be able to be typhus that which is beyond the properties of the yesh. In other words, as deep and high as it goes, it reaches a wall. So that's why there's no experience in the yesh of the ayin. How could there be? If there's an experience in the yesh of the ayin, I'm saying that the yesh doesn't experience intuitively the ayin. It can philosophize and understand. But in the metzias of the yesh, what you feel is yesh. We don't touch that ayin. Isn't Russia better than he knows he's a Russian? Yeah, so b'meila, so the v'ata mechaya is kulam, but is everything. And since it's everything, he says, so this is all the inyan of lamata adin tachlis. It includes even that which we call klipa. And that's why he brings in the maimer. What the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that Hashem is zon. He sustains. He gives parnasa. He gives life to everything. Mikanirim literally means from the horns of the wild of the major big wild ox called Re'em, all the way till Beitzei Kinim, to the eggs of the lice, to the Beitzim, to the eggs of the lice. Or according to some, Beitzei Kinim, the Gemara brings it, that itself could be the name of an insect called Beitzei Kinim. What does this bring out? Literally, it means from the biggest to the smallest. He gives parnasa to everyone. The wild ox and the tiny little insect. Everyone has its way of survival, and it's amazing to see embedded in every creature is a mechanism of how to survive. And a brilliant one. And everyone survives differently. Everyone has the exact tools it needs in order to be able to survive. And it uses those tools sometimes successfully, sometimes unsuccessfully. That's all part of the mechanism. But also, it brings out the truth of Lamata Adin Tachlis. Dehine karnei deimim haino abriya chigdoila. Ubeitze kinim haino abriya chigtama. Karnir Eim means it's a huge bria. Rashi says it's a chaya gdoila, it's a huge wild ox. Huh? Karnir are horns. Re'im says about Yosef. Karnir Eim karnif. Re'im is usually translated wild ox. Some say that it's one of those behemoths that are not here anymore. A giant animal. Rashi says a giant animal. That's what some say. Or it's just a metaphor of one of the big ones. Those big guys. Beitzei kinim are tiny. So Beitzei Kinim Ayinu Abriya Chiktana Shechenu Begashmis, push it physically. So Hashem gives chiyus to all of them. The Dvar Hashem, the Oisis of Hashem, create them both and are Mechaya them. What does it mean Mechaya them? Create the constant chemistry to bring their properties together so they should be able to function and get the parnasa they need all on all levels to be able to exist, to be able to function, to be able to feed themselves, to be able to feed their young. But everything physically comes from the spiritual. Like we spoke, everything begins with energy, and then it becomes concrete. There's a sefer, it's a fascinating sefer, it's called Tur Berekas. It was written by a Jew named Reb Chaim HaKoyen. He lived in Syria, in Aram Tzoyva, in Syria. He was from the students of the Arizal, especially from the students of Reb Chaim Vital, who was the student of the Arizal. He wrote a sefer called Tur Berekas. Tur Berekas is a fascinating sefer. It's Shulchan Aruch, regular Shulchan Aruch Erech Chaim, but it's every halacha al pi kabbalah. So it's the halacha, but the halacha is not a technical halacha. The whole halacha is a kabbalistic halacha, based on the idea that every halacha in Nigla is really a reflection of the halacha in Pnimius. So Tur Berekas is a kabbalistic Shulchan Aruch. In other words, it gives you all the halachas of Shulchan Aruch, but then it teaches the halacha, not physically, spiritually, what it means within the spiritual life of the world and the spiritual life of the Jew. None. No, Shulchan Aruch HaRizal is, that's HaRizal. This is Tur Berekes from the B'chayim HaKoyen. So he says in Tur Berekes over there, in Simen Tafresh Nun Beis, he brings, Mitalmidei, Shekarnei Re'emim Hem Soid Eser Kronos, Shu Inyan Eser Sfidus De Keser, Shairei Re'emu Gavoya Moed V'yani Besfidus Sfidus HaKeser, V'karnei Re'em Koyel Adarga Achiel Yonish HaBekeser Gufa, Tachlis HaRuchnis. It says in Medrash, in Eicha, Yirmiyahu Hanavi says, Goda b'chari av kol keren Yisrael. The Churban cut down with anger all the keren. All the keren is the horn of Yisrael. So the Medrash says there, Eser Kronosein. In Tanakh, you find 10 times the word keren. Keren represents the horn, which represents the crown on top of the head, the Keser HaMalucha. They also used to anoint the kings with keren, with a horn. So for example, he brings 10 times Karen. Avram had a Karen, and Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Yosef. Avram, Yaakov, Yosef. Moshe Rabbeinu, by Moshe it says, Karen Arpnei Moshe. By Yosef it says, Karen Reim, Karen of 10 Kronos. And by the Churban, they were all given to the Umas Oil of the 10 Kronos. And by Mashiach, it says also, Chana says, right, V'yitin Oiz L'malkoi, V'yareim, Karen Mashiach. All the Kronos are going to come back. Where it represents the horns, the power, the glory, the royalty. So that's what the Tur Berekes says, that Karnei Re'emim doesn't only mean the horns of the Re'emim, it means the 10 spiritual Kronos, which are the 10 Sfidus in Keser. Because Re'em itself is a very lofty animal, very powerful. It comes to the word Re'em. Re'em means exaltedness. And the Karnei Re'em is like the crown on the Re'em. So the 10 Kronos are the 10 Sfidus of Keser, which means the way there is Gilui Elikus, the revelation of godliness, in a very, very high and lofty space. Tachlis HaRuchnis. Beitzei Kinim. Hainu Briya Achi Ktana Gam BeRuchnis, Shiktana Mitzad Elikus SheYashba. Huinyin HaKlipa. Beitzei Ktanim is tiny. We're not only talking about tiny physically. You need a microscope to see it. We mean also tiny in Ruchnis, which means the Elikus is not felt there. Why? Because there's so much Klipa. So Karnei Re'emim, the Esesphirus of Kesem, Beitzei Kinim, are complete different worlds, diametrically opposed. Kedisa b'Pri Yitzchayim, the Arizal explains, b'biyur inyan aruchni de kinim. In the section of Pesach, he explains the makkah of kinim in this week's parasha of Eira. The third makkah was the makkah of lice that struck the Egyptians in their heads, in their hair, and in their bodies, and in the animals, v'tehiya kinim. And that's when they finally said, etzba l'kimi, this is an imprint of Hashem, this is where Pare began to change his philosophy slowly. So the Arizal says, Kinim begematria kuf chaf. Chaf, nun, yud, mem is 120, right? Chaf, nun, yud, mem. Nun and mem is 90. Yud is 100. And another chaf is 20, it's 120. V'roim is al kuf chuf atzirufim de shem alikim. Hainu, she shem alikim begematria hateva, nikrim magin al shem avaya, v'lochein nikrim b'shem kinim, miloshin kinui, sha kinui ba b'mokim Hashem, v'u ibud Hashem, kemuvi b'tshuvas marik. Elikim is Aleph Lamed Hey Yud Mem. Aleph Lamed Hey Yud Mem is the gematria of 86. Hateva is 86. Hey Tes Ve 86. Somebody once came to me and said it doesn't make sense. Elikim is much more than 86. Aleph Lamed Kuf Yud Mem. I said because you're spelling Elikim wrongly. You have to spell it with a hey, not with a kuf. You spell it with a kuf. It's the wrong. Elikim is begematria Hateva. Why? So the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ki Shemesh Umagein Hashem Elikim. Peidala Tehillim. So the Alter Rebbe teaches that what the Magein does to the Shemesh, Elikim does to Havaya. Just like the sun has a sheath, it's called a Magein, a shield to protect us from the heat and intensity. If not, we wouldn't be able to live. We would all be French toast or American toast in our case. That's why the position of the planets are so precise. You know, over the earth was further away from the sun, we would freeze. If we were closer to the sun, we would burn. So the precision over there is also perfect. It's also hafla of a fella. And the way the earth turns on its axis, the only planet that turns on its axis, right, on a 23 degree angle, right? It could have been a 90 degree angle. It could have been straight. It could have been 180. But then there would be no winter. There would be no summer. If there would be only summer, all the vegetation would die. If there would be only winter, there would be not enough sunlight to have any food. So everything is with precise precision. What has to happen in order for it all to be precise is a real, real intelligent and brilliant and infinite designer. That's all part of Atam Chayas Kulam. So that's all Elikim is a mugging for Shem Havaya. Like Shemesh has a mugging. Elikim protects. What does it mean protects? It covers Shem Havaya. What does it mean? Why does it protect it? Because if Shem Havaya wouldn't have the cover of Elikim, there would be no Va'ata, there would be no Isis. Meaning, the whole world would be seen as Koyach Elikim Mamish, pure infinity. So that's what Elikim allows there to be, a sense of identity that you could think is not a likus. There could be disalignment. Sheath, what is it called? A nartek. What are the... You're saying it's the magnetic field of earth, so that even brings it out more. That the earth is the one who creates the muggin. So they should be able to be earth. Like the Gemara says, La'asid lava kadosh baruch hu maitzi chama min artika. Hashem is going to take out the sun, meaning, right? You're going to experience the reality itself, and then you have to be a keli for it. Huh? If you have an ego, you get zapped. If you surrender the ego, you never get zapped. Magen is magnetic. Very good. So what's the nekuda here? Kinim is begematria kufchaf. Elikim aleph lamed hey yud mem can turn into 120 combinations. Any word of five letters can be configured in 120 ways. All klippas come from the kufchaf tzirufim of Elikim. Because Elikim has 120 combinations, so that's where all the variations of the concealment come from. Kufchaf. Especially the last 48. Oysis amoyfsim ba'admas bnei cham memches. The last 48, those are the most concealed tzirufim of Elikim. Yaakov told Yosef, Mi'ela, who are these children? Mi'ela is Elikim. Aleph Lamed Hey Yud Mem. Mi'ela. There was a separation of Mem Yud and Aleph Lamed Hey. Mi'ela, who are these kids? I don't recognize the flow. So Yosef says, because my whole avoda was to transform Elikim. Kilamichir shlachani Elikim lefnechem. Not Avaya. As Elikim ani yare. That was my avoda. To bring it out in Elikim. So Amela, kinim is lice. What does that represent? It's kufchaf. Kinui, the word kinui is Elikim. Kinui is 86, like Ateva. Kinim is 120, which comes from Elikim. Kinui is Elikim, begamatria. This is what Arizal says. Kinim is 120, which is the tzirufim of Elikim. That's why it's called kinim, Eloshin kinui. What's kinui? It's interesting, everything. He brings from Truvis Marik. Who's Truvis Marik? Marik is Rabbi Yosef Kolon. Rabbi Yosef Kolon, he was one of the Gdoile Chachmi Italia, one of the great Poskim and sages of Italy. He was also a great, one of the, he wrote enormous amounts of Shalsa Truvis. It's called Shalsa Truvis Marik. He lived in the times of the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of Shulchan Aruch. He lived in the 15th century and in the 16th century. Late 1400s and the beginning of the 1500s. It's called Marik, Rabbi Yosef Kolon. Truvis Marik is a cornerstone in the literature of Halacha. So why is he bringing in the Mayim? Interesting. It's a Ma'arik. I would call it a Farvarfene Ma'arik. By the Rebbe, it wasn't a Farvarfene Ma'arik. It was an open Ma'arik. But somebody once told Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, he wrote a sefer called Chazon Yecheskel on Teisefta. It's a Farvarfene Teisefta. He said, "Nay, du bist Farvarfene. The Teisefta is nish Farvarfene. Du bist Farvarfene." So depends, you know, which planet you're in, right? If you're in the Ma'arik, it's not Farvarfene. The Ma'arik over there, it's a Tshuvah, Kuf Samach Beis, Tshuvah Kuf Samach Beis. He gets very upset there. There was a get. Somebody made a get, wrote a get. And, you know, the Chacham and Rabbanim in every generation, yeah, one of their biggest things was to take care of Agunas. To take care of Agunas. How do you know that a system is really corrupt? When you abandon Agunas. When you let Agunas suffer and be persecuted and be miserable and nobody does anything, Fakir, they support the one who's torturing her, so that shows that the system needs a lot of help. Huh? Yeah, it's a terrible thing. The Chachamim did shaktu Chachamim al takanas b'nais Yisrael. They did anything to be able to help b'nais Yisrael. They shouldn't remain trapped. I should just mention l'man atzedek. Sometimes it can also be the other way around. You know, it's not always evil on one side. There's also evil on the other side. I just wanted to say that. In other words, not all men are Rishayim and not all women are always Tzaddik. Unfortunately, you have from both, but you get the point. Why am I saying this? So there was a get. Somebody gave a get. There was a guy, the Ma'arik got very upset at him, and he started to show that the get is, he wanted to say the get is possible. He wanted to get this possible. Why? This guy's name was Yehuda. He had a nickname, or a second name. They called him Leon. Leon in Italian, or Leonish. He writes Leonish or Leon in Italian. So he says, this guy says, it had to say in the get, Yehuda Hamchuna Leon. And it didn't say that. It said Yehuda de Miskarya Leon. So the Marik says, Amiratzim like you should not deal with Gittin, because you know nothing about anything. He's very sharp, the Marik over there, in that truth. And he says, you have to understand when you write the Miskarya and when you write Hamachuna. If the second name, the nickname or the usable name is completely different than the original name, there's no Shaykhs, then you say Hamachuna. It's a Kinui. But if it's an extension of the original name, like Aryeh Leib, or Aryeh Yehuda Leon, because Yehuda, it says in Chumash, Gur Aryeh Yehuda. Yehuda's a lion. So lion and Yehuda are connected. So you don't say Hamachuna. You say the Iskaria, right? Yosef, the Iskaria, Yosel, whatever, these types of things. Yeah? Avram, the Miskaria, Abraham. That's Miskaria. It's how it's called. Leon is Yehuda. But Kinui is different. He says Kinui is a substitute for the original name in lieu of the original name. In other words, the original name is not present in the Kinui anymore. That's what he says. That's when you, and he brings an ayah. Whenever the Gemara uses the word kinui, it's not the name. The Gemara just says, ha-mechana shem lechaveda ein lechelek elamav. What's mechana shem lechaveda? You start calling your friend by a name, right? They say fatso, ugly one. You know all these bullying names. It's called mechana shem lechaveda. It's a kinui. It's not your name. I'm giving you a new name to destroy your name. So he says, that's why you don't know what you're talking about. It had to, that didn't have to say the amechuna. That's the Marik. So why does it ever bring this Marik? You see his vart. Kinim comes from the word kinui. What's pshat kinui? It's not the original name anymore. It's a substitute for the name. That's the definition of klippa. Definition of klippa is, that's what happens from Elikim. Because this teva, and teva eclipses. Shem avaya, your teufis. So what happens? So it's called a kinui. What's the manifestation of that? Kinim. So kinim is not just the smallest bria. It's also in Ruchnius, yeah? The Koyach HaBriya, the Ruchnius is the smallest, meaning it's not felt. Why? Because it becomes a Kinui. Kinui is Elikim. And Kinim is the Kuf Chaf Elikim. Kinim is the result of Kinui. And he says in Yud Beis, that's why, we'll just finish this paragraph. He says in Yud Beis, that's why in Mitzrayim, the most important thing was Makas Kinim. Why Makas Kinim? And that's where Pari started to break. Because Mineu Ve Avalashade Benarga. You have to always take the wood of the ox. The axe is made as wood in order to fell the tree. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Mineu Ve Avalashade Benarga. You fell the tree through the tree itself. So in order to defeat Egypt, you had to use Mitzrayim itself. To go out of Mitzias Mitzrayim, you used Kinim. In other words, the Kinim were used against Mitzrayim. You have to reveal that Klippa is really fighting Klippa. L'makim esayim. That's how you destroy it. The tree itself has to be used against the tree. You understand? How do you liberate the world? Not by going away from Klippa. By using Klippa against it. By showing what you're calling Klippa really, Kol Kuli is Alukus. The Kinim itself are really, it's a Kinui. It comes from that name. It's Yehuda that has a different name. Your name is Yankel, they call you George. Right? Yankel and George don't have a sheiches. Yehuda and Leon have a sheiches. It's the Marik says. Ukepirish harav ha-magid be'inyin negat shma avat shma. Shekedei liyis negat shma kamayim anazal halach ha-kodesh baruch ha-mahalach tovkuf shonad lamata mata be'le mislachdeinim. Liknis loy shem, ha-deiz ha-idei avat shma, ha-inu shenevad ha-shem v'nin shera kinoi. And this is a moira de ketoira of the Magid of Mizrich. It says in Pirkei Avos, negat shma, Avachma. Negat Shmei Avachma. You know what that means? It means somebody who wants to extend their name and become a celebrity, they're going to lose their name. You want to lose your name? Make for yourself a name. Negat Shmei Nagat comes from the word hamshacha in Aramaic. Nagat means to extend, to be mamshach. Nar de nugget, like a river that flows. If you want your name to extend and become famous, avachmi, that's how you're going to lose your name. Why? So the Brit Yehovah is trying to say that somebody, that their entire intention in life is to be known, ultimately, they're going to lose their identity. Avachmi. And we can understand why. Because the worst thing in life is that the celebrity wants to be a celebrity. Because then, he's not a leader, he's a follower. His whole chiyus is coming from what? From someone else giving him validation. So that's the worst thing for you, avachme. You lose everything. There's nothing there. Or to put it differently, the people, you want people to look up to you, it's only because there's something there. But your whole metzius is that they should look up to you. So you understand the paradox? There's only something to look at if there's something actually there. But if your whole metzius is that you should validate, so what are you looking up for? That who's completely meshubit for you to validate? So it's like a paradox. Negachma avachma. In other words, the person needs healing. You need to love yourself, and then you're fine. If the whole metzius is negachma avachma, so that's bepashtus. The Magid says that this is essentially the story of creation. Negachma, Hashem wanted to have a name. For that, Avachme, he had to lose his name. Had to become a kinui. In order for Hashem to have a name, in order for Hashem to have a creation that recognizes Hashem, he had to lose his name and become a kinui. That's Elikim, Shem Elikim. Negachma Avachme. The Medrash says, Halacha Kadosh Baruch Hu Malach Tavkuv Shana Liknas Loi Shem. That's in Kahelis Rabbah. He went 500 years to acquire a name, meaning the Tzimtzum, to create a world that has a relationship with him. For that, he had to lose his name. That's the Tzimtzum. He had to completely conceal his name into a kinui. V'nimtzah shebeitzei kinim meir alinyan aklipis. Shegam sham nimshach ha'er v'achayis alaki. On this, the Gemara says, don't think that beitzei kinim are outside of Eirin Saif. No! Just like he sustains karnei re'imim, even beitzei kinim, the eggs of the kinim, which represents the smallest bria, also spiritually, where it's all kinui, the original name is forgotten, it's klippa. What is that really? Hashem sustains it. Va'ata mechayes kolam. Al derech maimon azal, the Gemara says in Chulin, Dav Zayin, Einoid mulvadai afilu kshofim. Reb Chanina says over there, Einoid mulvadai is even in Kishif. Don't think it's not Einoid mulvadai. That itself is va'ata mechayes kolam, even though it's completely concealed. What does this really mean? Just to summarize, what it really means is, when you look at your life, there's a lot of klippa. What does klippa mean? It means cover-ups. All the cover-ups, what they're basically saying is, they're not saying they're cover-ups. If they're saying they're cover-ups, they're not cover-ups. Somebody says, here, there's a cover-up here. That's not a cover-up. Cover-up means it's saying there's no cover-up, right? That's what cover-up means, a real cover-up. Klippa doesn't say I'm a cover-up. Klippa says I am reality. But it's a substitute for real reality. So sometimes you think the avodah is to run away from the klippa. The avodah is to unburden the klippa. Really, the klippa is holding on to an identity that it somehow was forced to develop. But it's not who it really is. It became a substitute for the original name. But essentially, that kinui gufa, the kinim gufa, that's going to be how Yetzias Mitzrayim happens. I need to unburden the klippa, unblend it, extricate it from its own mishagasim. In a person's life, when you look at those parts inside of you that cover up your soul, that take you away from your soul, your avoid is not just to run to your soul, which is the first thing, but there's a much deeper avoid. The deeper avoid is va'ata mechayes kulam. Can you really see that the clip is, it's all divine energy, just distorted. It's just distorted. That's a whole different avodah. That means inside everything, inside your darkness, you will also find the divine DNA. It's just the configuration is one that's allowing for this clipper to happen in order for there to be avodah. The Alter Rebbe had a chassid, his name was Rabbi Yekusiel Liepler. And he came to the Alter Rebbe once. He was a big Oved Hashem. And he said, Rebbe, Hakmir Arab de Linkezeit. You know what that means? Chop off my left side. Boom. Rebbe, hakmir ar up the linker side. Chop it off. The left side, the Yetzirah. So the Alter Rebbe went into a dveikus. Yeah, everything we learned is a one line. He went into a dveikus, a spiritual dveikus. After a few minutes, he came back and he looked at him. And the Alter Rebbe used to speak with a niggin. Even regular conversation, he always said with a niggin. He had a special niggin. So he said these words in Yiddish. Sishtei dva'ato mechayes kulam. Zay em oich mechaya. It says Hashem gives life to everything. You're telling me chop off your left side, and I'm telling you, Zayim Oich Mechaya. You also give him life. That was his answer. What was he saying? Hashem does it, you also do it. Va'ata Mechaya is kulam. I don't want to chop off your left side. You know why? If I chop off your left side, I'm chopping you off. I'm chopping off that which you came down to the world for. I'm chopping off that which you need to give life to because that is part of who you are. It's part of your mission. What I want you to do is Zaya Mechaya. Shine light. Shine life. Show the Va'ata over there. And then you know what will happen? You don't have to chop it off. You'll see that Lo Yidach Umenu Nidach. You'll see that it's also part of the oneness. Einoid Mulvada even in the Kshafim. Einoid Mulvada in the Kinim. Erin Soif Lamata Adin Tachlis. Now you want to know how to do that. But that's what it is. When you go to those places, they're very difficult, they're challenging, they're klippa. And you have to know they're klippa. But va'ata mechaya es kulam. So va'ata mechaya es kulam, it means that you could find in the lamata adin tachlis, the very chemistry of klippa is really kedusha. But it's been distorted. It's been camouflaged as klippa. Kinim, it's a kinu, it's a new name. Not the old name anymore. Negachma avachma, the name was lost. The name of Hashem was lost. But what is it really? That itself is only coming from Mechaya Eskula. So B'meila, its entire oxygen is from Kedusha. But somehow it has a distorted vision of who it is. If you want a very practical, psychological terms, sometimes we have certain qualities about ourselves. Those qualities make people crazy and make them feel guilty. And make them feel disassociated and detached and miserable and horrible and immoral and promiscuous. Whatever those midas are. It's called klippas, midas rais. So say, hey, get rid of them. Yeah, very easy. And then you sit down and you make a achlata, I'm getting rid of it. And then 2 minutes later, you get a text, and suddenly you didn't get rid of it. Wow, miracles. You made a achlata, get rid of it. No more, I've only... You sing a niggin, you close your eyes, you scream Kaddish by Kedusha. I don't know, you learn Svarim, you go to this caver, you go to that caver, right? You say Tillim 40 days, you fast, you got rid of everything. That's it. No more Gaivin, no more Kaz, garnish, nothing. No more Kinna, no more Sinna. And then you get one text message. Wow, Tchias HaMeisim. So what are we really saying? If you have the right wisdom and the right support, and the right hashkafa and the right method, and sometimes we need help with this, you can go into that space and you'll see that really, va'ata mechaya es kulam, really somehow deep down, underlying this very emotion, which is eclipsing your soul, it's eclipsing your relationship. Really what it is it's va'ata mechaya es kulam. It's part of Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Elamai, it came through Baruch Shem Kved Malchus Eloilam Vat. And therefore, v'haftas Adonai Elohecha b'chol avavcha, v'chol mamshecha, v'chol maidecha, b'chol avavcha, with both parts of your heart. What's pshat? Deep down, really, what you're looking for, in this midah, you're looking for attachment, you're looking for dveikas. But the animal soul doesn't know it. So the animal soul developed a new role. And it's burdened by that role. Can you unburden it? Can you unburden it? And then you'll see, this whole thing is one big cover-up. Okay. Have a beautiful day and a good chodesh.
This class is brought to you by theyeshiva.net. Please help us continue the classes. Make even a small contribution at www.theyeshiva.net/donate.